Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Catino and Nahal Horn. This is a podcast by and about BIPOC women who are going through the healing process. We hold this space for women to share their unique stories, created with the love of storytelling and passion for mental health and wellness in mind. The aim is to help amplify voices of women everywhere. These conversations will feel like having a warm cup of coffee or tea with a friend. So grab yours and let's enjoy these conversations together. Today we have a very special guest for you, Dr. Dweck, a practicing gynecologist and the chief medical officer of Bonafide. She is an OBGYN she's been for 25 years, over 25 years. Her special interest is in menopausal health and training in female sexuality health. Dr. Dweck is the co-author of 3 books and has appeared on the Today Show and Good Day LA. She contributes regularly to multiple in-print and online media outlets. She has been voted top doctor in New York Magazine and Westchester Magazine. I mean, what an honor and pleasure to have you on, doctor. Yeah. How are you feeling today?
Oh, thank you so much. It's absolutely my pleasure to be here. And I am on the East Coast, but I have not started my cup of coffee or glass of wine yet. So, but I like your introduction.
Well, you still have time to grab yours, or, you know, ask someone to grab it for you, because that's kind of the vibe we like on here. So if you can do that, go for it. So today,
I love that.
That's awesome. I wanted us to dive in deeper with this conversation into medical sex therapy and vaginal care for women, and also how to optimize vaginal our vaginal health. So if you don't mind, we're just going to dive right in. Nahal and I have some questions for you, and we are so excited. This is actually our very first sex talk. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, and I feel like it's so important. It's something that we don't talk enough about, because I mean, there's like so many reasons, right? So let's dismantle that here and create this very safe space for us to have these really honest conversations. So my question to you, doctor, is what is sex therapy, and how do we know when it's time to seek that out? How do we know when we actually need it?
Yeah, these are such good questions. So, you know, I would say that my focus is on medical sex therapy because I'm a medical doctor. So I like to say that there are two pretty distinct lanes that meld together when it comes to sexual therapy in the gynecology office. I deal with the medical sides of things, which usually encompasses hormone issues, dryness and pain issues, orgasm issues, libido issues, arousal issues, satisfaction issues. But I want to make it so clear that my mental health colleagues who are specialty trained in either psychiatry, psychology, social work, et cetera, all of those excellent mental health fields, they serve a really, really adjunctive purpose to my type of medical sex therapy, because after all, sexual health is pretty complicated for women. And there's, you know, biopsychosocial aspects, and they all need to be addressed at one point or another. When do we really start to consider this as a consultation or an issue? Well, it's usually something that's either elicited during a routine exam or a focused exam in my office, or someone will actually feel distressed enough about their sexual lives that they come in and, you know, have a specialized appointment for this reason.
Wow. That is, so that brings me to my next question, right? So what should a healthy sex life feel and look like for women? Are there any, you know, any green light signs and red flags? Like, what are, can you walk us through that?
Sure. I think everybody's ideal of what their satisfactory or better than that sexual life is individual. And, you know, this always brings me back to one of the most common questions that I get asked, which is, is this normal? If I have sex this many times in a month, is that normal? If I like having this type of activity, is that normal? And so on and so forth. And the answer is there really is no normal. It's what's normal for somebody. So that's why I'm saying some people may consider their activities to, you know, be limited or, you know, not what they think might be mainstream. But if it's not distressing, then there's no problem. So it really kind of depends on somebody's overall individual desires.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, I get that. I love that. Nahal, I know you had a really great question.
Well, I still want to continue on the same subject. So when you mentioned hormones having, you know, contributing to dryness or, you know, issues with sexual health, do hormones also contribute to someone's emotional health or mental health when they're, you know, because I feel like, is it all linked? Can hormones
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a very loaded question because, of course, hormones are totally linked. And, you know, I'll bring us back to what I see day to day, which are changes in hormones such as perimenopause and menopause. And this is a time where estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone levels might be kind of volatile. And eventually during menopause, estrogen levels and progesterone levels specifically are quite low because ovulation has ceased. This absolutely has impact on not only sexual health, but general health. For example, if people are physically uncomfortable day to day because of, let's say, nights, you know, hot flashes or physically uncomfortable during the night or having interrupted duration or quality of sleep because of night sweats, that's going to have direct impact on emotional health and on sexual health. You know, we hear this all the time. I'm just too tired at the end of the day. I can't even think about sex. I just want to go to sleep. And part of that is, you know, can be hormonal. You bring up things like medical illnesses that might interfere with blood flow. So, for example, cardiovascular health, hypertension, high cholesterol, coronary artery disease. These are going to interfere potentially if they're untreated with blood flow. And that just doesn't mean blood flow to your, you know, your brain or your heart, but also to your genitals. So this has a big impact on sexual health. With less estrogen comes less blood flow to the vagina, for example, and that means less natural lubrication. And that has a direct effect on the enjoyment and satisfaction during a sexual life. So yes, intertwined.
Interesting. So how do we get more estrogen? Like, do we need more estrogen if we're going through those symptoms? Or I know it probably all has to balance out, but what are some things that cause our estrogen levels to drop? Is childbirth in that mix at all, or
that's a good one. I love that.
It can be. So look, estrogen levels are going to wax and wane throughout the lifespan. So obviously we'll start from childbirth. During pregnancy, many, many women will experience a heightened sense of sexuality because they have such like lush tissue and tons of estrogen rolling around. Others become physically uncomfortable, especially towards the end of pregnancy, and may not feel that amorous at that time. But one thing that you bring up that's very important is lactation. So, you know, we love when women breastfeed. It's super healthy for a baby. It's great for bonding and all of that. And especially now with a, you know, milk formula shortage, but I won't even go there. But, you know, estrogen levels are extraordinarily low during lactation because oftentimes ovulation has not returned yet. So the genital tissue, particularly the vagina, can become almost menopausal-like. We call it atrophic, meaning that it becomes super delicate. It becomes less lush. There's less blood flow. There's less natural lubrication, less elasticity. And then pain can occur. Now, during lactation, this is temporary because usually the return of ovulation after somebody's done nursing, you know, will bring back all of the natural, healthful tissue of the vagina. But some women still might experience some discomfort because of the type of delivery they had. So maybe they had a large episiotomy or a large laceration or something that caused some, you know, general trauma to the area, and some rehabilitative measures may be necessary. But that doesn't have to come in the form of estrogen. In addition, during the perimenopausal time, those years leading towards menopause, which could be 4 to, say, 10 years, estrogen levels are going to wax and wane. And that means that libido and sexual arousal may also wax and wane at this time. And part of that is because of hormone changes, but part of that is also just life. You know, if you're super stressed at work, or maybe you're having some relationship issues, or maybe you're not, you know, thrilled with your weight for a couple of months, or any of those types of issues can also interfere with sexual life. So it can be kind of complex. Finally, during menopause, once you stop ovulating, your estrogen levels will continue to decline and vaginal tissue changes will get, you know, more notable with time. This is sort of a chronic and progressive change. And there are plenty of hormonal and non-hormonal options to help to optimize vaginal health during that time.
That brings me to that's a segue to this question. How do we optimize our vaginal health? With everything that you've just shared, is it specific to one person or what would you suggest? I would say
there are definitely individuality factors that go into this, but for example, and I'm not just talking about sexual health necessarily, but just about general vaginal health. The vagina has unbelievable natural mechanisms to maintain a normal acidic pH, okay? So we have a collection, a microbiome, if you will, of organisms in the vagina, and some of these organisms are called lactobacilli, and these organisms are the good bacteria, if you will. These are the ones that produce lactic acid and hydrogen peroxide and help to maintain a healthy acidic pH, free of discharge, free of odor, free of symptoms of infection, for example. With certain prompters that alter pH, but also with hormone changes, this balance of kind of good and not so good bacteria goes off. And that's when some women can experience symptoms like discharge or a fishy odor or itching or irritation. And this naturally occurs with the hormone changes of menopause. So to optimize vaginal health, I usually recommend either using a vaginal moisturizer to help maintain some of the moisture there. One ingredient in moisturizers that's very helpful is called hyaluronic acid, and this can be found either in a gel or in an insert called Reverie, which is really helpful to maintain moisture. I also sometimes recommend vaginal estrogen, which is minimally absorbed, and a way to help to make the tissue more supple and less prone to those pH changes. And I also, for women who are prone to infection, especially recurrent symptoms and infection, recommend a probiotic that might be geared only towards vaginal health or specifically towards vaginal health. And one that I recommend, yes, is called Claire V, which is specifically designed for vaginal health and taken orally to help optimize that pH and help optimize that lactobacilli count so that these recurrent infections and symptoms are not a problem. Naturally, this is going to make for a more optimal sexual life. So that's one important thing. The second thing, and this might be particularly important for, you know, the audience we're speaking to, is that some women are really more prone to something called BV than others. BV, or bacterial vaginosis, is an imbalance of the bacterial counts in the vagina where lactobacilli, those good bacteria, go down, and other bacteria that are anaerobic, including one called Gardnerella, go up. So that balance is really off. And the African-American population tends to be more likely, for whatever reason, to be a little bit more prone to this infection. There are probably genetic propensities towards this and also environmental influences. So I often recommend avoiding products that might interfere with the optimal vaginal pH. What might these products be? Well, douches, for one. Douches are really frowned upon by a lot of the gynecologic organizations because they can alter the pH. So being mindful of that. You know, sexual activity can absolutely interfere with the pH. So for my patients who are super prone to infection, even if they're only with one monogamous partner, I'll recommend using a condom even for a short time to kind of break that cycle of BV and recurrent infection. Hormone changes can also interfere with the pH and be somewhat disruptive. So, you know, we're very mindful of that as well. And those are just a few examples.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Very important.
Sure.
Yeah, this made me think of like the gut health. It's like the microbiome in your gut, you know, is so important. And now I'm realizing so is your vaginal microbiome. Just something
you
we don't
You are absolutely
really-
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have loads of microbiomes throughout our body. So, of course, my world is the vaginal microbiome, but the gut microbiome is real and related to so many discomforts and infections, which is typically, you know, or commonly optimized using a probiotic geared towards gut health. So why not maximize the vaginal health as well with one probiotic that is specifically geared and studied for the vaginal health?
Yeah, I'm about to get some today. That's on my Amazon order.
Yes, that is, wow. It's so impactful. Like just to have this type of information. Wow, thank you for that. Now I wanted to ask you, how does the experience of sexual trauma, how does that impact one's overall sexual health? What have you seen around this?
Sadly, I've seen way too much around this subject matter. Mm-hmm. And this is where my mental health colleagues in the world of sexual health are really just invaluable. So sexual trauma is awful. I think it's thankfully a little bit more on the radar right now so that we're speaking about it more. And I am hoping that more and more women are going to bring this to the forefront of their healthcare providers and mental health care providers' attention. But, you know, this sometimes can be buried for quite some time and then reemerge almost without warning later on. In terms of sexual health and function. So this is something that I always inquire about when I'm doing a sexual health consult. And again, engage my mental health colleagues. Oftentimes what I will see, and this is just one thing that I'll see in my office, are women who complain that their pelvic floor muscles are super tight and that they may get involved with a partner that they trust. That they want to, you know, have penetrative intercourse with, and they somehow or another just feel like a do not enter sign is being put up. Muscles get so tight. And there are instances where we will uncover that there's been a history of trauma in past. And so the brain tells these extraordinarily strong vaginal muscles, do not enter. And, you know, now we understand why this may be happening. So oftentimes, again, with the help of mental health colleagues who, you know, can work on behavioral therapy, I'll introduce something called vaginal dilators, which are sets of these, you know, little devices, if you will, that start out super, super skinny, and they get wider and wider and wider in a set. And women can practice on their own terms in private, without having to worry about a partner or trust or anything like that. They can practice using dilators in an effort to help train their brain that whatever is going in the vagina is not going to hurt and it's from a trustworthy source. So not only do these dilators stretch the vaginal opening a little bit or stretch the length or width of the vagina if necessary, but they train the brain to loosen and, you know, manage those muscle tighteners with time.
That is amazing. That's such a good piece of information for everyone to know that there's just so many options available to, you know, whether you've sadly experienced trauma or whether you're,
And some women use dilators successfully for many other reasons. I mean, menopausal women, for example,
I was gonna say,
if their vaginas, if they haven't been used in a while and they're feeling like they're tighter, or for example, I have a large population of women who have been treated for breast cancer and they're quite young and their sexual lives, you know, suddenly took a little bit of a halt during treatment and whatnot. And then upon resumption, they're having pain. Dilators can be a godsend along with really aggressive moisturizers and lubricants. So these are important tools to keep in mind.
Oh, okay. I had a quick question. So I'm reaching, I'll be 40 this year. And although I don't think I've had any symptoms of menopause, but when you mentioned perimenopause, what ages do you see that usually occurring?
Yeah. So first of all, you're a baby. So 40 is super young. 40 is the new 20.
Yay! It is.
Yeah. So, you know, the average age of menopause in the U.S. is 51 and a half years old, approximately. Menopause, by definition, means 12 consecutive months without menstruation for no other obvious reason. And the 4 to 8 years leading up to that are considered perimenopause. And some women float through this without having any sort of real issue. And others are noticing, you know, unusual symptoms, whether it's the typical hot flashes, night sweats, whether it's irregular periods, or whether it's a slight change in their sexual lives and sexual function. So it's kind of individualized and based not only on your mom's history of when menopause occurred, but the, you know, environmental factors like lifestyle. So you may experience nothing, or you may want to be proactive and consider thinking about optimizing vaginal health. It sounds like you're already on board with a probiotic geared towards the vagina, but vaginal moisturizers and lubricants not only help with, you know, sexual pain and vaginal dryness, but they can enhance pleasure as well. So I often recommend these on a proactive level.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I was in my own private consultation with you, doctor. Thank you.
No, that's awesome. And I guess I'm getting close to that because I'm almost hitting 43. And so it's good to have these conversations and to start thinking about this, because as your body changes and, you know, you want to know, like, what's happening and what can I do to optimize, you know, my overall health. And sexuality is a huge part of it. And it's been really enlightening to hear you connect it all for us, so we can really understand how important these conversations are. And even if you don't feel comfortable having these conversations out in the open, having these conversations with your healthcare provider. I also love the fact that, you know, you as a medical doctor working alongside mental health professionals, and how you collaborate in that sense too. And that's sometimes we don't make that connection, how, you know, you can have that collaboration to help your client, your patient. So thank you.
Absolutely.
For that.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. There's a wonderful resource called ASECT.org. That's AASECT.org. Mm-hmm. This is a very well-respected community of mental health providers that focus their practices or have specialty training in sexual health from the mental health side. So I'll just leave that as a resource for you all. In addition, I love connecting sexual health and general health, because they actually really do go hand in hand. You know, we know that people who have healthy, or I should say satisfying, whatever that means, sexual lives tend to have less depression. They tend to have less heart disease. They tend to have less immune issues. So these are connections where we know that, taking care of your overall health, mental and physical, and your sexual health really can be mutually codependent. And that's very important. I want to let you know that what I see in my office most often when it comes to sexual health as a gynecologist would be, you know, issues with pain with sex, issues with low sexual drive, and issues with orgasmic function. So these are three things that I often am asked to focus on. So I would like to just reassure your audience that if these are concerns that they may be having, you know, this, it's not that uncommon, and they absolutely can be addressed. If your general healthcare provider or even your gynecologist doesn't feel like an expert in this field, there are expert opinions you can seek out, whether it's for menopausal health or general sexual health, just so that people don't feel like they're at a loss.
That's great. Yeah. I really hope anyone listening feels more comfortable talking to even their general doctor about this kind of stuff, because it's a good place to start.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Wow. I am I feel so much more educated.
I know, me
so,
too.
And I feel like, I just feel like so, like I feel confident too. I don't know about you, Nahal, but like, I just have like this newfound confidence and I'm just so excited because it like, I feel like having these conversations and being, you know, completely honest and transparent kind of gives you the, like that extra oomph and confidence that you need, you know? And I think that's what we need to have. Just be honest about what it is that you're experiencing. And then also knowing that, guess what? There are so many other people going through the same thing. And yes. It's not uncommon. And you're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with you for experiencing these things. And just owning that is so liberating. I think the confidence comes from like feeling free, you know?
Yeah, cutting the stigma out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I also think it's important to note that sexual health, you know, sexual activity, let's put it that way, ebbs and flows naturally throughout the years. You know, you're not going to be a sexual dynamo, you know, 24/7, 365. Right. It's just not, that's not the way it goes. So even though the movies and books may depict that. So that's important to know what's normal and what's not normal. But again, there is real no normal. The other thing that I'd like to make note of, because this is always a kind of a, like a deer in the headlights kind of thing for my patients, is that partners don't always know what's going on. And you may have to bring them into the conversation. So, for example, if something hurts because maybe you're experiencing dryness, or you maybe are, for whatever reason, you don't like a particular area of your body to be touched or whatnot during sexual play, your partner can't necessarily read your mind. So you may have to actually have some direct communication. And pretty big deal when it comes to sexual satisfaction. So I wanted to put that out there as something that I do see in my office, not that infrequently.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Communication.
Communication and learning your body and knowing what feels good and then communicating that, because I think the assumption, like the dissatisfaction a lot of times comes from having this assumption that our partners are supposed to know what we like, or, you know, what kind of turns us on, or, you know, but so again, having those kinds of conversations are really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And things change through the years. So, you know, if you're in a long relationship with one partner, you may have to go through this more than one time in your relationship lifetime because things do change with time.
Oh, yeah. Especially after kids.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow. I want to hang on to this conversation. I want to keep it going. I really do. It's been so awesome and real and just honest and very informative and so on so many levels. And I am sure that my audience is going to get a lot of value from it. So I do thank you, Doctor, for your time and sharing this knowledge with all of us. Now, please do share with us where we can stay connected and receive some of your services and information. Please do share everything that you have.
You bet. So thank you so much for that opportunity. So I am the Chief Medical Officer at Bonafide Health. That's at hellobonafide.com. There is so much amazing content on this website regarding sexual health, in addition to full explanation about some of the products that I was speaking about. Because we are a natural supplement company that helps women traverse perimenopause, menopause, and sexual health experiences. So I think that's important.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for your time again. Thank you. Thank you. And to my listeners, thank you so much. Again, we are sending you all so, so much love. Until the next time, be well. And please stay connected with us on our Instagram page, where we post updates and inspirational quotes and all things wellness. So please do stay connected. It's luce.inspiration. That's Instagram at luce.inspiration. Until the next time, sending you all so, so much love.
Much love.